All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. Master Commissioner Gregory Matthews presiding.
Please be seated. This morning we will hear case number 2017-655, Great Lakes Bar Control, Inc. Versus Joseph W. Testa, Tax Commissioner of Ohio. For the appellant, Mr. Kim.
Good morning, Master Commissioner. I'd like to go ahead and reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal at this point, if I may. May it please the court, this court should reverse the Board of Tax Appeals decision and affirm the Tax Commissioner's final determination against Great Lakes Bar Control. The Board failed to follow the plain language of Revised Code 573901, Section II, which defines building maintenance and janitorial services. Instead, the Board devised a distinction between cleaning for two ostensibly different purposes. One, for removing dirt and contaminants from beer draft lines to make those beer lines clean or fresh, which the Board called cleaning. And second, to remove dirt and contaminants to permit continuous operation or continued proper operation, which the Board adopted Great Lakes terminology of preventative maintenance. Now, this is problematic for two reasons. One is that there is not a different purpose there. There is a singular purpose there, and there's no distinction to be made that there is cleaning being done in each of those particular supposedly different scenarios. Now, and then that dovetails with the fact that the plain language of the statute, which I can get into, does not provide for this type of dichotomy that that Great Lakes has sought to create within this statute. And even from a factual standpoint, the transactions at issue here, frankly, do not, from a factual standpoint, they do not even constitute preventative maintenance in the sense that one might think of that term from a plain language standpoint. Rather, those acts are necessary and related to the acts of cleaning that the commissioner rightfully deemed as taxable. Now, just to give you a quick background, Great Lakes Bar Control is in the business of primarily installing and servicing and maintaining. If you go to restaurants or bars or similar establishments, the beer lines. So everything from the kegs and the taps to the lines in between, and keeping things fresh, keeping things clean, so that, you know, when you go or I go and order a beer, then we get a clean, fresh, and consistent beer. And so they install those. Sometimes they install those systems. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes there might be repairs involved in those with those equipment. And sometimes there's not. But it's important to note that the transactions at issue in this case, the ones that were assessed, are those dealing with what we'll call, just for consistency purposes, a draft technician comes on a regular basis to do two things. Or one of two things, to visually inspect the system, or to visually inspect the beer line, to visually inspect the actual, the outside, the inside, to see if there's any clogs or any problems with the beer lines, to see if there's temperature issues, consistency issues with the beer, and then also if there happens to be any problems in that sense, they would unclog those lines. And then, on average, every other time, because this is typically a once every 4 week type of visit, on average, once every 8 weeks, but sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on the need, that draft technician would engage in a flushing system, step, which is basically taking a pressurized caustic solution and pumping it through those lines to disinfect and get rid of any extra contaminants that otherwise could not be removed by whatever other steps that the technician takes from the unclogging of the drains or unclogging of those lines. Now, So you look to see, if the lines are neat and in need of cleaning. You look to see if the overall condition of the lines, and you look to see look at the insulation around those lines. And the thing here is that Great Lakes has dressed this up, and the board accepted this notion that there is some distinction to be made between all those acts versus some specific act of cleaning. But there is no distinction to be made there because those acts are cleaning. And the board said it, and I'll even quote you the language that the board used. We conclude that it is reasonable to draw a distinction between the act of removing dirt and contaminants from tangible personal property simply for purposes of making it clean or fresh, and the act of removing dirt or contaminants from tangible personal property so that it will continue to operate properly, preventative maintenance. The problem there with the board's decision, both from a factual standpoint and a legal standpoint, in terms of reading the statute, those are both cleaning. They're for the purposes of removing dirt and contaminants. And if you look at the plain language statute, and there's been really no dispute that in the most basic sense of the word, removing dirt and contaminants is cleaning, that's where you start and stop with the analysis of whether or not this service is taxable.
Does it matter if there's no actual clog in the system when the technician is there? Does it matter if the extent to which the system actually has contaminants in it, and whether he actually needs to unclog something when he's there?
I would say no, and for multiple reasons. One is that the testimony in the record evidence reflected that there was no difference in price, regardless of whether. As you're saying, if there was any unclogging that needed to be done or any extra cleaning that needed to be done, the same price was being charged. I believe that the only difference in price or only variation in price across customers was for the size of their operation or the capacity of the beer lines or whatever. But in terms of, well, we didn't actually have to do any cleaning today, or we had to do more cleaning today, that didn't change. That didn't result in a different price point. And I can think of it really in a lot of different other real world contexts. You can imagine a housekeeper coming in to clean your house and saying, oh, well, you know what? This stuff is clean. Your bedroom's clean or your bathroom's clean. I don't have to do it. But you still came, and because you were contracted or you were asked to come specifically to do the cleaning service. And if it turns out that you didn't actually have to do it that day, if you're going to have a system, unless you're going to have a system whereby you don't have to be charged for that, they're still coming, they're still spending their time, and they're still weighing in their expertise to look at what's going on. That's where you get the notion of cleaning or the other acts that are incidental or related to the cleaning. And that actually kind of dovetails, kind of segues me into another point of the matter here, is that the board, in another ways that the board got this really fundamentally wrong, is the fact that the board looked at the statute 573901, that definition of building, maintenance, and janitorial services, and the definition is it's cleaning of the building or any tangible property located therein or thereon, and including. Here, I'll read just so that I don't misstate it. Cleaning the interior or exterior of a building and any tangible personal property located therein or thereon, including any services incidental to such cleaning for which no separate charge is made. How the board read that is, okay, well, we have some situations where cleaning is taxable and some situations where cleaning is not taxable. So it's the board is reading it in a limiting fashion, whereas this is actually an expansive statute. It's saying cleaning is what's the taxable service plus anything that's added on to or on top of or related to that service. We're not talking about incidental there in the context of de minimis. We're talking about incidental as related to. And so when you're talking about things like, oh, I need to look at the beer lines, I need to look at the and visually inspect the outside of lines, I need to maybe do a test or some whatever steps that the technician takes to see, oh, well, this beer is not pouring properly, it's not pouring fast enough, or the temperature is too hot. Well, that's determining how whether I need to clean it or and how much I might need to clean it. And that result may be different from visit to visit, but it's still part and parcel with the basic premise for why they're there, and that is to clean. And so that's where the problem comes in with defining some distinction of preventive maintenance versus just cleaning in some basic generic sense that the board has done with this decision, because it just flies in the face of the statute. Let's see. I can think of other examples, real world examples that include various levels of technology. You can have, say, a chimney that you're cleaning, and you probably need some, I don't know exactly how it's done because I've never seen it, but I imagine there's some kind of tube or some kind of line that you have to stick up the chimney to be able to look and see in there whether there is extra soot that needs to be removed. There's a snake that you would put into a drain to see and be able to clean out things. And yes, I could probably do it if I had enough instructions or enough guidance or whatever, but I would pay someone else to come in to do it who has expertise and experience doing that. And the fact that I have to stick this thing in does not change the fact that I am doing this act for the purpose of determining whether or not there needs to be cleaning done and how much cleaning there needs to be done. And even on the most basic level, the act of like looking underneath the couch and like lifting up a couch or lifting up a rug to see, do I need to sweep under there? Do I need to dust under there? Those acts are part and parcel with and tied to the act of cleaning, even though they might not necessarily involve a mop or dust. But those are the types of things that are incidental to the cleaning. And again, I should reiterate, there is no separate charge. There is no difference in the charge. And in fact, the record also shows that there is no separation in the invoices between, oh, well, I only did a visual inspection. Therefore, that costs that much. And then I also did cleaning, so it's that much. There's no differentiation or no itemization in the statute in the invoices. And even if this court were to find that, hey, there is some distinction, and we would obviously disagree with that, even if there is some distinction to be made, there was no separation of that. And the statute clearly says that if you are doing cleaning, and then on top of that, anything else for which no separate charge is being made, then that's all taxable. So we have that backstop there, even beyond this question of whether or not there is some separate maintenance or preventive maintenance going on. And one other point I should make that is that when you think of preventative maintenance, you're thinking of, well, I'm going to take some acts that have the purpose of being able to avoid or ward off something later. So if you're doing preventative maintenance in this context, maybe you're taking some action during that visit by that, that draft technician is doing some action during his visit whereby he doesn't need to come the next time, or he doesn't need to do certain steps. That's not what's going on here. You can think of, for example, the recent case of East Manufacturing, where there was discussion of a clean room, and you can you imagine a room where there's no dust and no particles and no extrinsic things in the air, and because the manufacturing process in that particular case required there to be some sterilized environment, and so any acts that you're taking or any equipment that you're installing would be for the purpose of making it so that you don't have to do anything, you don't have to actually clean anything later on. You don't have to take any particular steps. That's not what's going on here. That technician is coming to look and see if something needs to be cleaned, and then acting on that as necessary to actually clean. And the only difference at the end of the day is whether he cleans it that day or he cleans it the next time he comes. And so there's still cleaning to be done. There's still cleaning that needs to be done. And so regardless of how you dress it up, it's cleaning. I see my time's up. And so unless Your Honor has any questions, I'll sit down at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Domingo.
Good morning, Your Honor, and may it please the court. As honored as I am to be here today, this case really comes down to respecting the Board of Tax Appeals' factual findings, which are totally ignored by the tax commissioner with his focus on the line flushing activity. The Board of Tax Appeals found that the taxpayer provided non-taxable inspection services, not cleaning services, and those occasional times, whether it's every other time, that the lines were flushed, that represented a really small fraction of the time, less than 25% of the time, that draft technician was there to actually flush the line. And the Board of Tax Appeals, in a factual finding, said that that was an incidental activity, which is correct.
So you're characterizing this as an incidental activity. My question is, how does the statute actually lend itself to the framework that the BTA applied with this sort of primary and incidental distinction?
Well, the actual statute at issue, Building Maintenance and Janitorial Services, references if it's predominantly building maintenance and janitorial service, but there's other services that aren't that, to which there's not a separate charge, then those services are also tainted. So the converse is also true. And that's that.
But why is the converse also true?
Because I
think, as Mr. Kim explained, that phrase within the statute seems to expand the taxability of cleaning the services. The way you're reading it would actually limit the taxability. Well, I guess I'm not understanding how you get there.
Well, I'm saying that if there's one small aspect that might meet the definition of statutory a taxable service, that doesn't taint. And there's an issue as to whether that's even cleaning itself, because the tax commissioner concedes that unclogging lines is not a cleaning service. But assuming that that's a cleaning service, a small aspect of the service doesn't taint the entire service. It's like an attorney providing legal services. If there's an aspect of it that relates to automatic data processing or computer services to which there's not a separate charge, or EIS, electronic information services, the whole transaction is not tainted. You look to the true object, predominant purpose for the transaction, and the tax commissioner even respects that. In the information release, it describes a check and serve type situation where a heating and air conditioning contractor goes to a site to basically check up on everything to make sure it's working, and if they do some cleaning but it's an incidental part, it's still a non-taxable service.
But you're referring to an information release that really has no force of law, though, correct?
That is correct. But it also reflects what the tax commissioner has even conceded. And I just want to point that out. It's an inconsistent statement. So our position is that when there is an incidental part, the whole world, the business environment is full of many, many transactions involving services that might have an incidental element of a taxable component, but that wasn't the predominant purpose for the transaction. And the tax commissioner's ignoring that. The tax commissioner's not focusing on the Board of Tax Appeals' factual finding.
I just want to clarify that, and I think you said this earlier, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. The distinction you're reaching between the primary and the incidental purpose, mm-hmm. you're deriving that from the part of the statute that refers to including any services incidental to such cleaning for which no separate charge is made. It's that part of the statute that you're getting that from?
Yes, and I'm saying the converse should also apply.
And yeah, your point is what the statute says, the converse is also true, and that's how you're getting to the result you're advocating.
Right, and there's parallel statutory provisions. When you're looking at taxable automatic data processing services or computer services or electronic information services, the statute itself says that those are taxable even when there's a professional service component, as long as the professional service component is incidental, which means if it's predominantly a professional or personal service component to which the electronic information service or computer service or EIS or automatic data processing service is incidental, then it doesn't taint the whole transaction. And again, it really comes down to the primary purpose. It's an extension of the Emory test. The primary overriding purpose, true object for that particular transaction. The true object of the transaction is to be in that bar environment for that 20-minute period and inspect these beer lines to make sure that they're functioning. And if they're not functioning properly, if they need some maintenance or repairs, that's a whole separate topic. That'll be separately billed through these service technicians, and that's not an issue. And then occasionally the lines are flushed, not every time. And when that occurs, that's 25% or less of the time that actually it takes. And that's of the whole time that person is there. So if the person's there for 30 minutes, it might take 5-7 minutes or whatever.
So you would concede that cleaning is taking place?
I would concede that once every other visit, the lines are flushed. But I'm not conceding that's cleaning, because that's essentially unclogging those lines. It's not, you know, making it more cosmetically appealing and so forth. It's not the type of activity consistent with what the board said. It's more of a maintenance activity, but that is incidental part of the inspection service.
So if the act that they're taking is removing particles or contaminants from the line, how is that not cleaning?
Well, we would say that that's not cleaning because you're just flushing it out. It's consistent with unclogging a drain. And I don't know that when a plumber comes and unclogs a drain that they're really cleaning the drain. They're just removing the contaminants that are within, or the buildup, I should say, that are within that drain. And there's other issues with respect to the statutory provision. It's that the Board of Tax Appeals didn't even address, that even if that is cleaning, does the statute contemplate that cleaning the interior of tangible personal property is taxable? We would say no. The statute references cleaning the interior or exterior of a building, and then it references cleaning tangible personal property. And when we'll also say that, and so the...
Sorry to interrupt you, but under that argument, you're saying interior or exterior modifies building,
right,
but does not modify tangible personal property.
Correct.
So if tangible personal property is unmodified, then why would it not include either exterior or interior?
Because the statute is being specific, and when it's specific, you look to the items to which it's specific, and it's only specific... Those specific language, that limiting or that broad language, I should say, is only with reference to the building itself.
But if interior or exterior is disjunctive, what suggests that then what part of tangible personal property? You're suggesting that it would mean only the exterior of the tangible personal property.
Yes, correct.
But why is that? Why not only the interior?
Because that's what we would commonly think of when you're something that. Tangible personal property, nobody really experiences, like the inside from a cosmetic purpose of nobody, that's not really the objective of the statute. Is it's more cosmetic, and so you can clean an exterior building cosmetically, an interior of the building cosmetically, visually see that. Same with tangible personal property, whether it's, you know, chairs or desks and so forth, but It's not a cosmetic purpose when it's interior.
Your assumption seems to be that cleaning is only related to cosmetics, and why? Where do you get that?
Based upon the language in that the board focused on in even earlier decisions. Yeah.
Do you have specific things you can point the court to?
I'm at a loss right now as to which of those decisions, right? But it seems to me in the it would be the Cousineau case that focused on the cosmetic purpose. I'm trying to think of the other cases that.
But as far as I can understand from the briefs, there's no statutory definition of cleaning. Is that correct?
Correct.
So we're just left with the ordinary understanding of what cleaning means. And is there anything that would suggest that cleaning would only relate to the cosmetics of whatever is being cleaned?
I would concede that you could interpret it to be as broad to even cover any removal of anything. I would concede that. But in this context, consistent with the earlier Board of Tax Appeals decisions, and I think that the Cousineau was even a Supreme Court decision, I believe the focus was more on cosmetic, a more limiting definition of that, that it's more consistent with the housekeeping and janitorial type services, and this would obviously be a far cry from that. But more importantly, I want to go back to the factual findings of the Board of Tax Appeals, and that this was predominantly or essentially an inspection service. And they identified six activities that were occurring at each visit by the draft technicians, that being, pressure setting, checking or documenting the pressure settings, the cooler temperatures, the glycol system temperature, the finished pour, the conditions of the fittings and couplers, and appearance and condition of the beer lines. And half the time, that's all they would do, is that inspection activity. The other half, every other time, on average, they would see that the lines might be clogged, and they would take apart the lines, and 25% of the time of that visit itself would be represented by the flushing of the lines. And in our opinion, that's the tail wagging the dog, that incidental line flushing activity doesn't taint the whole service. It's still an inspection service to which the line flushing is incidental. And that's consistent with the Board of Tax Appeals factual findings that the tax commissioner did not present any evidence or witnesses whatsoever, let alone any contrary evidence in the record. And so this court hopefully will respect the Board of Tax Appeals factual findings that this is an inspection service to which the line flushing is incidental.
Would you agree that, as I read the BTA's decision, the BTA seemed to just sort of, when it got to the statute, just said, well, there's really nothing on point, and we're just going to look at other comparable law from different situations. To the extent that the BTA didn't really engage with the statutory language that actually applies in this case, that's not something that the court can necessarily defer to if it's not applying the law that applies, correct?
Correct. But Your Honor, 75% of that decision in the context that you're describing, where it recites the transportation for hire and cleaning in the context of trucks and trailers and so forth, that's all addressing this ancillary activity that's occurring. All of that relates to the line flushing that occurs every other time and less than 25% of the time when it does occur. So the board was wrestling with what's the nature of that activity. And if you read the decision very closely, it's clear. They're saying, okay, let's look at this line flushing activity. What's the nature of that activity when it occurs? When it occurs, the board made a conclusion that it's a maintenance activity. We would say we agree that's a maintenance activity. It's to keep the lines functioning. But even if it's not a maintenance activity, if you the court finds that it's a cleaning service, it's still incidental to an inspection service and is not taxable. If there was a separate charge for that, then we would say it would be taxable, but there isn't. And it's since it's incidental, it can be ignored. Just like, you know, attorneys, I'm sure one aspect of their services could be automatic data processing, or accountants, automatic data processing in conjunction with preparing a financial statement or compiling data for a financial statement and so forth, or a tax return, or an attorney that's compiling, you know, research from taxable Westlaw, Lexis. That's all, those benefits are all incorporated or incidental to the predominantly non-taxable service, the personal or professional service. In this case, it's a personal or professional inspection service to which, as the Board of Tax Appeals found, the line flushing was incidental. I see my time's up. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Kim, you have about 30 seconds left.
Oh, okay. Well, let me just dovetail real fast on what Your Honor was talking about with, you know, this is not just a simple matter of deferring to the board's facts, because as Your Honor was kind of alluded to, there are facts as it being applied to an incorrect reading of the statute. The statute, if you go even back to 5739.01b3j, it says that any sale where building maintenance and janitorial services is performed is taxable. And you'll notice also that the word maintenance is in there. So even though it's not in the definition, there's some contemplation of maintenance in this. And so you're starting with this broad, as you said, as you and I both said, you both used the word expansive. We're starting from that point.
You're out of time. I have one quick question. Okay. I want a quick clarification on. Mr. Domingo suggested that the tax commissioner concedes that unclogging the lines is not cleaning. Is that in fact correct?
I would argue that it is still to the extent that it is removing dirt or contaminants, it would be cleaning. I will just say that simply. If you're looking at the common sense definition of the word cleaning.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
This case will be submitted and you'll be advised of the court's decision.